You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Now batting, number one in our hearts. At least he'd like to think so. It's the Jim Day Podcast.
All right, all right, all right. As Matthew McConaughey would say, it's the Jim Day Podcast. Once again, welcome in wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Thanks for checking us out. And today, we've got a young man that a few years back had to endure bus rides with me on the Reds Caravan for 2 years straight. That's being locked in a very confined space with moi. So he earned his stripes, I guess, and we appreciate that. He is a former first-round pick and now a catcher on the big club, the Cincinnati Reds. He is Tyler Stevenson. How you doing, Tyler?
Wonderful. Good to see you as always. brings us back to those long trips at the caravan.
Oh yeah, those are that's 4 long days, but they're days which you get to look people in the eye and thank them for being fans, and at that time shake their hands.
True.
A little different now, but
absolutely.
We had some good times. Hey, I want to start with when people think of you, at least right now, your better days are still ahead of you, in my opinion, at the major league level. But your first major league at bat, I mean, there you go. Immediate smile. Yeah. One of the coolest things I've ever seen because, you know, guys come up and not only sometimes they have to wait for their first hit to get the monkey off their back, and it's a lot of pressure to get that first hit, and then it's like, all right, when are you going to get your first home run? Well, you took care of both of them on the second pitch that you saw at the major league level. First major league at bat, home run. Has it set in yet that happened to you?
I don't think it fully has. Like I don't know how many times I've went back and watched that video, honestly.
A lot.
Yeah, of course. It still doesn't feel real, and I still obviously can't believe that it happened. It's pretty cool.
I mean, awesome. And you could, when you're rounding third and you look back, you look at your teammates in the dugout when that happened, and you went to the dugout. What were they saying to you?
I forgot. JR, I think, said something like, I don't think they were supposed to like give us high fives or something like that, but he was like, I'm going to give you a high five anyway. Like when I was rounding third, going home. The dugout was awesome. Just everybody was pumped, and just how cool it was and stuff, how happy they were for me.
The only bad thing about it, and this is classic 2020, there were no fans in the stands. I mean, the place would have gone crazy. Your parents would have been there. That's the only thing that was lacking, unfortunately, right?
Yeah, sadly. We'll just have to maybe do it again. With some people in the stand.
Ah.
That's a lot of pressure, but I'm glad, like, kind of how it all unfolded. Like, I ended up coming in, I think it was like the seventh inning. Freddie came up to me and was like, hey, you're in, because we were down, I think, 8-0 at the time. I remember running up the stairs to get on the field, and I remember telling myself, like, well, here we go. So I ended up go out and catching that half inning, and then I think I was hitting that bottom half. And like running through my head, I was like, man, I hope people know this, because we were in like a rain delay and stuff. It was late.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I hope my parents are up. Like, hope my fiance, like, hopefully she can watch it and stuff. And sure enough, I get back in after that, and I've got like 300 text messages. Just,
oh, I bet.
People blowing up my phone. And I mean, I don't know what time I went to bed, but it was late. I mean, it was probably 4 or 5 in the morning.
I bet you can't come down from that energy, man. That's fantastic. Did you get the ball? You got the ball, right?
I got the ball. Yeah, I've got the ball, the bat, and my batting gloves on my parents' place.
Oh,
and the lineup card.
They went to. Cool. They went to mom and pops then.
Yeah, for now.
For now, there you go.
For now.
Well, also in that, you know, you singled, or you homered in your first at bat, but didn't you single in your second at bat? And then the most impressive thing to me of the night, and you guys almost came back from 8-0 down to win that game. It was like 8-7 or something. You drew a bases loaded walk in the ninth. To me, as a rookie who had already hit a home run and a single, you're probably like, man, I'm ready. I'm going to get me some again. And then you walk. That was so impressive to me.
Yeah, honestly, I think that was one of my favorite highlights of last season. Obviously, I know with the homer, the walk-off, and throwing out Billy, like, obviously there's some awesome things in it and stuff. But being from Atlanta, seeing Kimbrel in his prime when he was with the Braves, and then to be in that situation, like, I don't know. You just can't make that up, and it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and it was fun. Talking about Craig Kimbrel, who's the pitcher in that ninth inning that walked you, and you drew that walk. I mean, I was so impressed with that. You had just mentioned some other highlights of last year, the walk-off against the Pirates. And I believe, was it Sam Howard pitching? And he's a guy that you would, like, work out with in the offseason,
yeah,
right?
So both of my home runs last year off Georgia guys. So I just need to be in the lineup anytime that there's a Georgia guy pitching. But yeah, so Sam actually, like, I've worked out with years past, like in the off seasons and stuff, and caught bullpens. So yeah, it was pretty funny that it all unfolded like that.
There are not many catchers have thrown out Billy Hamilton stealing, and you did it the first time. I mean, that was, I was calling that game, and I think I said that was Bench-esque, and because Johnny Bench used to throw the ball, and it was like 5 feet off the ground the whole way, and just right on the money, and it just looked like that. Is that the best throw that you've made?
It's got to be, especially in the circumstances of everything, like, my first start at Wrigley Field, it's raining. The weather is just terrible. Billy Hamilton's on first. He's stealing. I'm catching Robert Stevenson. And then it's just like, I mean, just, and then, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think it could have been more perfect than that.
Yeah, you're catching Robert Stevenson, meaning that you don't know where that ball is going. I mean, he's got a snap on the hook. A lot of them are in the dirt. He is tough on a catcher. That was awesome, man. That was awesome.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I think Amir after the game was like, oh, you need to go like smack talk Billy or something like that because of it. And all
of course.
That stuff. I'm like, no.
Of course.
I mean, Amir, yeah.
Of course Amir said that.
Yeah.
He probably wanted you to smack talk like right away, right on the field. It, right.
Probably. I'm sure he did.
Follow Billy back to the dugout.
No, I don't need that. I'll let Amir handle all that.
Yeah. How you doing as far as fitting in? It's not as bad as it used to be back in the day with rookies or younger players, but this seems to be a good group to fit into. You feeling comfortable? Because barring anything unforeseen, you're on the squad.
Yeah, I mean, so I know my first big league camp was 2 years ago, and that was the first year with this coaching staff and stuff. And at that time, being, I don't know, 21 years old, 22, first big league camp, like, it's just funny just how it all kind of rolls out and stuff. Like, your first year in camp, like, you're that young kid, you don't want to like step on anybody's toes and stuff. You're just kind of sitting back and watching and stuff. And then last year, you kind of get a little more playing time. And then this year, especially with all the moves we made last season, and just kind of growing in that role and stuff, and how much Tucker's helped, how much JR has helped and stuff, and just being around everybody. I mean, I'm comfortable. I don't want to say I'm comfortable because I don't like the phrase being comfortable and being content, because you always want to obviously achieve more and stuff. But yeah, it's been great. It's been fun.
You've mentioned JR a couple times. That's JR House. He is the Reds catching coordinator, Reds catching coach, also third base coach. And I don't know, he looks like a drill instructor to me, because some of these drills you guys do are crazy, and you laugh. I mean, he's got the haircut looking like a drill instructor. Some of these drills that you guys do, are there sometimes you're like, what? Are we really going to do this?
I'd be lying if I said no.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, like, the work that we do it looks to the extreme and like pushes those limits of like insanity or like, what are you doing? But it just makes it easier, that much easier whenever we are actually catching a guy. And it's like, okay, like it's easy whenever you're catching Castillo's changeup or Sonny's breaking ball after doing all this machine stuff. And it's the nastiest pitches you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
And just creating all these angles of catching and stuff. So just push yourself to the limits, and then it just makes it that much easier.
I remember the first time I saw you, I'm like, that can't be Tyler Stevenson, because that is a big dude. You laugh, because I'm sure you get this all the time. I mean, that dude looks like a first baseman or a left fielder or something. Are people surprised when you say, hey, I'm Tyler Stevenson, I'm a professional baseball player? What position you play? Catcher? What? Catcher?
Yeah. Everybody. It's always like, oh, pitcher? Like,
yeah.
Everybody thinks that, yeah. I mean, obviously it's part of it. So it's funny, like I moved to Columbia, South Carolina this offseason, and that's where my fiance is at. And I worked out a place with Grayson Griner, who's with the catcher with the Tigers. And we're probably the two tallest catchers in baseball. We're working out together. He's probably 6'5", 6'6", and I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
So it's funny, it's got the two biggest catchers probably in baseball working out with each other and stuff. But yeah, I've always been massive. I've always been taller than everybody else, even when I was younger, even when I was catching and stuff. So part of it. But
have you found it to be a disadvantage at all? I mean, it's the only thing you know, obviously. You've never experienced being a little dude. But have you found that you have to do things differently or than a normal catcher?
Yeah, I think there's always pros and cons and stuff. Like I would just use Tucker, for instance. Like, obviously, he's a lot smaller than me, and he controls the bottom of the zone with receiving really well. But with me being as tall as I am, like, I handle the top of the zone really well. So there's obviously a balance of, like, okay, I can catch the ball at the top just because how big I am. Catching the ball at the top of the zone is easier. And then that's been the work in progress of working on the bottom pitch, just because with how big I am, it's harder for me to get down lower and stuff. But I did Pilates this off season, and I've seen huge strides in my like flexibility and stuff. So yeah, it's a work in progress, but we're getting there.
Is that why we've seen you go to one knee sometimes, that lower pitch? Got to watch those hitters, though, man. You're tipping a low pitch, though. Sometimes those hitters are their peripheral vision. Uh-huh. Like, I see that knee down there. He's going low.
So yeah, that's been a big thing. Really, the past year and a half or so, being on a knee consistently. Like, I remember my first big league camp with JR and the new staff. That's when he kind of introduced the one knee and pitch framing. And then that's the year that I went to AA in Chattanooga, and I kind of got away with it. But then last year and this year, I mean, it's pretty common of me being on the knee. And I'm feeling great with it. Just the improvements I've made has been great.
That's great. When you were drafted, what was it, 2015? Is that when you got drafted? Yeah, 11th overall, I think. Whenever they draft a high school catcher, people are like, oh, this is cool. We're going to have a major league catcher. I'm like, put a timeout on that. It's high school. We're not going to see this guy for a while. It takes high school catchers a little bit longer, and sometimes a lot of it longer to get to the big leagues. Can you think back to coming out of high school, how green you were? Because I talked to Corky Miller, who was one of your mentors. He's like, we've had to start from scratch. Yeah. Was it kind of like that?
100%. I mean, I honestly can't thank Corky enough, really, for everything he's done and continues to do. And it's cool that I'm obviously 37.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Which is his number and stuff, which I want to stay with. I think the only number I'd go to is 9, but I think Moustakas has that for a few more years.
Yeah, I think he's got that one locked down.
I just remember getting drafted and stuff, like thinking like, oh man, I know a lot about catching. And then when I get drafted, just him breaking it down from step one, and it's like, man, I know nothing. Yeah. I thought I was on top of the world getting drafted, catching and stuff, like, oh man, like, but really breaking it down to the fundamentals of flexibility and your squat and your stance to throwing, to blocking, to receiving, to game calling, game preparation. You're just like, man. So, he's been a huge help, and I can't thank him enough for just the strides that I've made ever since I've been drafted.
Do you ever have any doubts along the way? Like, wow, I don't know if I can do this.
I'm sure I have. I mean, I'd be crazy not to say that I probably haven't had those thoughts.
Yeah.
But
you got to skip over AAA. Nice move.
Yeah. It was fun. I'm not going to complain, even though I've heard a lot of good things about Louisville.
Great town, great organization. You started catching when you were six or seven, is that right? So you've been a catcher. You know, a lot of guys, well, and I was a shortstop. I was, you know, most of you guys are the best player on your team growing up. But I thought I had read somewhere or heard somewhere that you said you thought that the equipment was cool then. Is that right?
Yep. So I think my first ever position I played was second base, but that's when I was probably like T-ball. But I think once we kind of got into kid pitch, which is, I think, 7 or 8 years old. I started catching because I thought the gear was cool. That's what my mom said. All of these stories obviously come from them. I thought the gear was cool. Nobody else wanted to do it, and I strapped it on and got out there. And I mean, growing up, like, I caught and I played some first and I pitched, and that's pretty much kind of what I did until as I got older and started catching more frequently and stuff, and that kind of just became my position.
You were first looked at by scouts as a pitcher, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say that. Yep.
That cracks me up.
So in high school, I really didn't pitch much because our number one and number two both went to Clemson. And then we had a third guy who could have gone to probably a decent Division One or Division Two school. So we were pretty loaded with talent at our high school. So there was no really reason for me to pitch because I was catching stuff. But like with my travel team in the summer, I would pitch a good amount. So that's when I think it was my junior year going into my senior year when I was pitching. Scouts were there, and that's what I first got looked at. Like, I mean, I can get you about a 90. 88 to 90, some decent command, good changeup just because with my hands.
Yeah.
Breaking balls, I mean, we have DJ and we have Bodie, so I'm sure we can come up with something if we ever need to.
I was going to say, don't count it out, man. You know.
Yeah.
Don't count it out.
but yeah, it was fun. I miss it, but obviously I wouldn't change anything.
Oh, where I'm at. no doubt whatsoever. I mean, the future looks really, really bright for you. You had mentioned your mom, and I know you were, are you a mama's boy, by the way?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
See, now I love that you admit that, that people admit that. But
yeah, I'm very close with my parents. We're a tight family. And mm-hmm. like I went to high school, like three of my cousins, we all went to high school with one another and my sister and stuff. So we're all close in age, and we do a lot as a fam.
Yeah. Well, I was, I follow you on social media, and I love the posts on Mother's Day and Father's Day, and one on Father's Day where I think the quote was something like, even at an early age, I knew it was meant to be the Reds, because as a kid, you were on the Reds. You're wearing a Reds uniform with your dad and your mom, right?
It might have been my first ever team or something like that. So I think my actual... I mean, I need to get this like authenticated or something. Could be worth some money one day. But my first ever baseball card, I was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, was me in a Reds uniform. I need to try to find that, and I can send it to you.
Please do.
When we're done. But yeah. I've got like a baseball card. So my mom at our house has a big thing up on the wall and has like, she tries to collect all of my baseball cards that's come out. So she has all of my ones since I've been drafted. And then, I think like the very first one is that one when I was 6 or 7 years old of me in a Reds uniform, up there.
That's great.
Which is pretty cool. so even crazy, like when I got drafted, just crazy draft process. So I was picked 11 by the Reds, but I was almost 99.9% sure I was going to get drafted by the Phillies, which was the 10th pick, because I went up to Philadelphia the weekend before the draft. And so when I was up there in Philly, like, I got some Philly things because I thought I was going to get drafted by them, like, from what my agent said and stuff. Like, there's a good chance I was going to get drafted. And then draft day rolls around, and the Phillies take Cornelius Randolph, which is somebody from Atlanta that I know really well. And then my agent calls me right after the Phillies pick, say, hey, the Reds are taking you. I'm like, well, sweet, this is awesome. And I was like, man, like, I don't have anything Reds. Like, I mean, just because I didn't know.
Yeah.
But then I remembered, I don't know, I was 14, 15 years old, and I played at East Cobb travel ball down in Atlanta. And I played with Mike Cameron's son, Daz. And did he play
Mike
with
the Cameron? Reds? Oh yeah, Mike Cameron did. Yeah, sure did in the 90s.
So I played with his son, and we were up in Cincinnati for a tournament. Like, we played them at Xavier. We played at Cincinnati. I think we played some other places. But we went to a Reds game when we were there, and I remember in the back of my closet I had a camouflaged Reds hat that I bought when I was 14, 15, 16 years old. And it was in the back of my closet. So after I got drafted, I remembered, I was like, man, I have that hat in my closet. So I went upstairs, and I'm sure you can go back and look photos of me getting drafted. And I had a camouflage Reds hat on from back then.
So there you go, man. It was all fate along the way. Yep. Little did you know, at 6 or 7 in that Reds uniform, or when you bought that camel hat, that the Reds would be your future. What do you think? What's the biggest learning curve? I mean, obviously, when they talk about you, they say, well, he can hit. It's whether or not he can manage games and call games. Is it still a major learning curve? Is calling games the biggest learning curve?
Yeah, and I think just the preparation that comes with it, especially at this level. Because at the minor leagues, we didn't really have as much information. I don't want to say there wasn't as much at stake, because obviously we want to win every game, but especially winning is everything at our level. So especially that preparation daily of, like, we're going into the game with our starting pitching and we're going to do everything we can to win this game and stuff. Like, I mean, it's been great just even this spring being with DJ and Tucker, having a bunch of conversations and stuff. And after innings, like, games now, like, after innings where they score a couple runs, we try to come in, talk with DJ, kind of talk it through, and just anything that he would do differently, and just obviously take the most out of this time and stuff. So it's been great so far, though.
So Tucker's been a pretty good influence. You know, a lot of guys sometimes you're the so-called heir apparent, he's the veteran. You know, some guys might shut you down or not help you out. Is that a good relationship?
Unbelievable. I can't honestly thank him enough. Cause I remember when I got called up, I think the second time last year, he comes up to me, it was like, anything you need, I've been in your shoes, talk to me, please. And really from that moment on, it's been great. Conversations after conversations, just talking with him about anything about the game and stuff, even like with the early work, even doing our individual defense, asking him questions and stuff. I mean, he's been awesome. I can't thank him enough, honestly.
That's great. He's a big league player big league person for sure.
No, definition of a professional.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Who are the other vets that you look up to or try to, I don't know, get some advice from? Or not necessarily get advice, just look up to and try to maybe follow their path.
Sonny is great. Definition of a competitor. Same with Moose. Just obviously he's got a World Series and stuff, and his drive to win. Same with Joey. I mean, all of those guys, the elites, I would categorize them and stuff. Like, just to see the work that they put in, the definition of being a professional and stuff. It's cool just to sit back and watch them go about their day and their routines and stuff.
Is there anyone that you kind of shake your head like, and that dude's crazy? That dude's not right.
I don't know. There's nobody that comes into mind.
No, you're a young guy. You don't want to say that anyways. I tried.
No. I mean, Bauer was different last year, but I mean, it was in a good way, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, keep it right there. More with Tyler Stevenson after this.
Life is full of questions. Like, when should I start thinking about life insurance? But however difficult these questions may be, Western and Southern can help you answer them. Backed by over 130 years of experience, together we can look ahead to leave the unknown behind. Western and Southern Financial Group, life insurance, retirement, and investments.
Compensated endorser. Products issued by member companies of Western and Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Who do you hang with? Who are your boys that you hang with?
I'm living right now with TJ Friedel and Trammell, Kayla Trammell. So
the T Amigos.
Yeah. So yeah, right? we're all together. So we're living it up, and Taylor's with the Padres or no Mariners. Now.
Yeah, you got to keep up.
I can't mess that up.
Hey, let me go right there. You and Taylor Trammell, former Reds prospect, traded away. Outstanding young man. I mean, I would put you guys in the same category. You guys are best of friends, but you grew up very close to each other, right?
Mm-hmm. So our house is like from house to house is probably, I don't know, 20-ish minutes. But where I went to high school and where he went to high school, he went to a private school. It was probably less than a mile from my high school. So yeah, we're that close. We never played each other in high school because I was I think our high school was like a 6 or 7A, like region. And he was a small private school, like 1 or 2A.
Mm-hmm.
So we never played. But we had mutual friends just because we played at East Cobb, like the travel ball team. And I was a year older than him. So I would be on the 15-year-old Astros and he was on the 14-year-old Astros. And like we had mutual friends and stuff. So we knew of each other. And then obviously he gets drafted and then we just bond together and it's a brotherhood. I mean, we've just become so close.
How wild is that you grew up so close together, high school so close together, kind of knew each other, but then all of a sudden you guys are best friends, not as children, but now mm-hmm. as young adults. That's,
yeah.
I mean, you've kind of had a fateful path.
Yeah, it's very fortunate. It's cool just the position that we're in, the small percentage that I obviously make it to where we're at, and to have somebody back at home that we can relate to and kind of come back to and stuff, it obviously makes it a lot easier.
Were you crushed when they traded him?
Yeah, it hit me. It hit me pretty good because I remember we were in Chattanooga and we were playing and he gets pulled in the top of the top of the ninth. And then I just had this feeling in my stomach. I was like, oh, dude, he just got traded. Because why else would he be coming out of the game? And I think that was the last day of the trade deadline. And then sure enough, the game ends and stuff. And I come up to him and stuff. And he was like, yeah, I got traded to San Diego. And we were living together at the same apartment that year. And we just pretty much stayed up all night. And I was like helping him pack and stuff because he was having to leave the next morning. So it was weird. And our lockers were right next to each other in Chattanooga. It was weird.
Man,
it was heartbreaking.
I bet. And I bet it was. But, you know, I had the same impression when I first met you and when I first met him. He's just a good guy. He's obviously he has a very good upbringing like you. I was just so impressed with him and still impressed with him. And I wish him the best unless, you know, they're playing you guys. Which won't happen that much.
We're from Georgia, so everybody from Georgia is great.
There you go. Georgia.
Just kidding.
No, you're not. All right. It's all right to have pride for Georgia. But yeah, I was surprised when you said you moved to Columbia, South Carolina. And I thought, well, why? How would a Georgia guy move there? And it has to be A woman.
Yep.
Engaged, yeah. Right?
Yep. I got engaged. Man, it was like a week after the season. It was quick after the season ended last year. So she's in PA school, and she was doing her rotations. Like, she's in the process of doing her rotations, and she actually is done with her rotations this Friday, and then is fully graduated. I think May 25th, she takes her final boards. And yeah, so she's in the process of looking for jobs and stuff right now. And I ended up moving to Columbia, and that's where she's from. Spent a lot of time together and stuff, which was great. Because, I mean, we've been doing long distance ever since we met 4 years ago or so.
Wow.
So I met her at Clemson, like, because my two of my good, really good friends from high school played at Clemson. And so we ended up going on a double date. We went to a haunted house, and hey, the rest is history.
A haunted house date.
A haunted house. I do not. And of course, it's like, okay, first time meeting her, I got to show off. Like, I was the first one in the haunted house, having to go through all these corners and stuff. And oh man, I was a wreck. I do not. Stuff popping out of me, and I had to try to play it off cool, like I'm a big tough guy. Oh man,
not good with the haunted house.
No, that's not for me. but obviously it worked out because she's still with me.
I was gonna say, did you, you know, were you worried that, like, oh man, she's not gonna go on a date with me again? Because I was a scaredy cat in there.
Exactly. Like, this guy's 6'4" and he's a teddy bear. What are we doing?
So do you see yourself as a South Carolina guy now? Is it?
Yeah, I'm probably, if I was a betting man, I think we'll either be in Columbia or in Charleston, South Carolina.
Both good towns.
Which is where she's looking at. But yeah, she's been great, and she's been grinding away at school for the past, like, 2.5 years or so. So she takes her test Friday, and if she gets an A on it, she'll get a 4.0.
Wow.
For PA school, which is pretty awesome.
That's so beyond awesome. That's great. That's fantastic.
She's wonderful.
Well, too bad she wasn't in the stands last year when you hit that home.
I know.
Gosh, exactly. I don't know why I keep harping on that, but that just seems, it just, like, a lot of people were robbed of a lot of things, and it was a great moment, but, you know, and I always interview, a lot of times we'll interview the family when someone's making a major league debut.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to do that last year.
That would have been good. That would have been a good reaction.
What is harder, making it to the major leagues or buying a PlayStation 5?
Oof, that's a good one.
The reason I ask is because I saw you on social media say it.
Yep.
Asking, is anyone selling a PS5?
So, funny story. I was just kind of messing around because I've been trying for months ever since it got released, and it has been impossible. And I was just joking around, and sure enough, this card collector from Dayton, Ohio, like, messaged me and stuff, and sure enough, bought one off of him.
Really?
Dayton, Ohio. Yep.
Was he hoarding PS5s? Because a lot of people...
No, I think he said he had two. So he's got one more for sale. So if anybody out there wants one, I know a guy. But...
Are you kidding? Yeah, there's a lot of people that still want them.
Exactly. So that's what, yeah, I had a whole bunch of people. I was surprised at how many people I actually, like, replied. And obviously, I'm sure there were some fake accounts and stuff.
Yeah.
Scamming and stuff, but... the guy was a card collector and had one of my autographed cards and stuff, and took a picture of my card with the PlayStation, show that it was legit, and hey, I got it. So I might have to bring him down to a Reds game this year.
Yes.
Just for hooking me up.
The power of social media. That's actually a good thing. Something good happened on social media. Let me write this down.
I mean, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. What's your game of choice?
Oh, it's been Fortnite as of late. I know it's kind of been outdated, and Call of Duty's big. I don't know. I've been kind of dwindling away with my video game playing time. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what comes up next and what the guys on the team are playing, and then I'll hop on that.
Well, you've got other big things brewing, and you catchers, particularly in spring training, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, you guys should get paid double or triple during spring training because no one works harder than the catchers. You guys are the first there, the first out there. You got to do all your catching drills. You got to catch every pitcher. And then, oh, by the way, at the end of the day, we're going to go hit while everyone else is done. So you got a little bit on your plate. So I understand that the game playing might be waning.
Yeah, for sure. But it's worth it.
I bet.
Without a doubt.
Do you have any goals?
Ooh. So I don't know. I'm weird when it comes with that. Like I don't like putting numbers, especially like coming into season. Like let's just say I want to hit 300 with 20 homers. Like just something random. But I'm not a big numbers guy when it comes to that, just because I feel like I put too much pressure on myself. And for me, every day, as long as I give myself an opportunity to succeed, that's my goal for every day. Like the preparation, putting myself in a spot physically, mentally, every day. If I can give myself that, then that's my goal for every day, because at least I'm giving myself a shot to succeed when it comes game time.
Yeah. You are also, and I don't know this by personally talking to you, but just on your social media, that I can tell you're strong in your faith.
Yes. So that's something that my fiance has actually helped me a lot with ever since we have met, which I'm very obviously thankful for.
That's very good. Very good. What do you do, all these protocols? You've got some extra time on your hands. What do when you're, besides hanging out with Friedel and Fermel?
What
do you guys do?
Because we can't, obviously we can't really do a whole bunch. We've been watching a lot of Netflix. And actually, Tremel has his PlayStation out in the living room, and he's got a golf game, and we'll play golf against each other, which has been fun. So like we each have our own character and stuff, and like he you can design your own course.
Yeah,
so he designed this just crazy course and so we play that. But like especially with us this year, I think we have like 15 night games on our schedule.
Spring training, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. For spring training, compared to, the years past, it was maybe one or two.
Right.
So we're having a lot. So a majority, obviously, of our games are night games. So sleep in and then make some breakfast and lunch, and then really like head to the field at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or so, and then get home after the game and really go to bed. So really, I don't have time to really do a whole lot. When I do, I just kind of want to relax, watch some TV or something like that. March Madness going on right now. My bracket's already busted.
Everybody's is.
What's new?
Oh yeah. No, I had Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16. No, I did not. I'm kidding.
Oh, wow. That would have been incredible. I would like to. So yeah, we did something. Tucker has all the brackets and stuff, but we submitted a bracket, and I should have taken a picture of it because I want to see how bad it is. It's got to be bad.
Yeah. Well, everyone's is bad. Don't worry. Hey, did you ever play baseball game of video games, like MLB The Show or anything?
Yep.
What's it like? Did you play as yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, what's that? Come on, as a kid growing up. And all of a sudden, you're on a video game. That had to be a moment.
It was pretty cool, not going to lie. So, yeah, I've got MLB The Show. And so they came out with, it's called, like, the real cards. So, like, you could, like, reach out to San Diego Studios who made MLB The Show. And they would design you, like, your own personal card. So I could use myself, but it's kind of like a beefed up version. But I'm the only one who can use it. So like you couldn't use it or anybody like that. So anytime that I was playing somebody and they saw that card, they knew that they were playing like actual, like, me, the real Tyler Stevenson. But then I had a couple other cards. Like, so after I hit the walk-off home run, they came out with a card, because they did, like, Tops Now moments. And it was cool because I had, like, a pretty beefed up card after I hit my walk-off.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it was cool just to see people use it. And there's a streamer called Daddy Demo. He was a big streamer with MLB The Show. And he's actually from, like, he actually went to my high school.
Oh, wow.
But he's older than me and stuff. And sometimes I'll watch him stream and stuff, and he'll be using my card and stuff. And it's like, this is weird, but it's awesome.
Heck yeah.
Just to see, yeah.
Hey, that that walk off that day, the I always think about a guy rounding third, and when there's a walk off, your teammates are at home plate, and to see the look on your teammate's face, it was one of a little bit of surprise, a lot of happiness. What was it like going towards home plate?
That just happened. I mean, I don't know. It's just another blackout moment of, like, that just happened. But it was awesome because I know that was a really important stretch for us.
Yeah.
Because I think after that, like, ended up, we were playing the Pirates at the time. That was a series we really needed to win.
Right.
And I think that's kind of when things started to turn, that last, I don't know, 2 weeks of the season, and we made that push for the playoffs. So it was fun. It was a cool experience for sure.
You mentioned Netflix. Got to ask you, what's the viewing choices? Are you a binge watcher? Do you binge, or do you just episode here and there because of the schedule?
Yeah, it really, it depends. I'm a huge Office fan, but obviously it's not on anymore. I've been watching Money Heist on Netflix, which is good. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I have not.
It's really good.
Money
Heist. It's in Spanish, but they have oh man.
Subtitles?
Subtitles. Yes, thank you. Subtitles in English.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty much just these group of people that pretty much create, like, just the biggest heist, like, of robbery, of, like, stealing gold pretty much inside of a huge bank in Spain and stuff. It's cool.
Wow. Very nice. What about the other boys? What are they watching? You guys watch the same thing? Do you fight over what to watch?
Yeah, we've kind of just been watching that. Like, I started it, and then they've both seen it, but they've joined me watching it and stuff. So we'll try to watch an episode, like, try to every day, but it's been inconsistent just because it was, especially with Taylor, they're on a different schedule than us.
Yeah, they play a lot of day games in spring training.
So anytime that we are home at the same time, we'll try to watch one.
Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us. I hope it's you'll come back and join us on this here podcast. I think your future is very, very bright. I am excited about it. I always like to see good things happen to good people. And you're in that category. So I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it as always. As always. Hopefully not the last time.
No, not at all. If that would mean you're doing good things, which I think is going to happen anyway. So,
for sure.
All right, man. Appreciate it. That is Tyler Stevenson, everyone. Catcher of the Cincinnati Reds. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Jim Day Podcast. Hope you'll rate and review this podcast. You can follow along with me on social media at Jim Day TV. Oh, by the way, where are you on social media? Let's get it out there so people can harass you.
Oh, man. I think Tyler Step 22.
There you go.
I think. I don't know.
You do Twitter or Instagram? You do both Twitter and Instagram.
Both, yeah. Yeah, both. I'm pretty sure that it's certain on both.
Yeah. Do you do more of the other? Which one do you like better?
I think Instagram is easier.
Yeah.
And there's just Twitter, there's too much craziness on.
A lot of hate on there, a lot of hate.
Yeah. But I'm on both.
Yeah.
Whichever I'm feeling that day.
Well, there you go. That was classic me right there. Tried to wrap up the show, and then one more question.
As always, yep. Love it. Goes.
All right, people, we'll see you on down the road. Thanks for checking us out here on the Jim Day Podcast. See you next time.